the character of God, but one that shows the wisdom of God, the purity and the holiness of God. In our scripture reading this morning, we read a passage from 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, as he was writing to this young preacher, he said, I want the men everywhere, in every place, to lift up holy hands without wrath and disputing. That is, in their prayers, as the custom would have been, to lift up hands as they prayed, to do that without wrath and disputing, in like manner, that is, in the same vein, I want women to conduct themselves in a way that bespeaks holiness and purity without wrath and disputing, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. I'm reading from the 1901 translation, which is the correct one, and your translation may be just a little differently, a little different than this. We're going to talk about the specific words in just a moment. But Paul said, in like manner, and what I'm calling your attention to is that in this text, there is some consistency in theme as he's talking about what it means to conduct yourself in a way that is befitting to the people of God. In like manner that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefastness and sobriety, not with braided hair and gold or pearls, our costly raiment, but which becomes a woman professing godliness through good works. Let a woman learn in quietness with all subjection, but I do not permit a woman to teach or have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness. For Adam was first formed, and then Eve, and Adam was not beguiled, but the woman being beguiled hath fallen in the transgression, but she shall be saved through her childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and sanctification and sobriety. Well, several things that we want to discuss here this morning. We'll begin with the discussion of some words here. As Paul talks about adorning ourselves in modest apparel, he's using a word that we are somewhat familiar with, even in the English language. It has been transliterated. The actual word that is used here, kosmios, or kosmios, orderly, that which is well arranged. Thus the sign out front says orderly and well arranged. So that's what we're talking about this morning. That which is respectable, that which bespeaks self-control, that which reflects appropriateness. Incidentally, that word itself is used only twice in the New Testament that I know of, once in reference to a woman and once in reference to a man. In the reference to the woman, it's used in 1 Timothy 2. In reference to the man, it's used of the elders. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, that they are to be respectable, as the American Standard Translation would translate that word. Now, the word actually is a derivative of another word, very closely related. You can see kosmios and kosmos. This word is a word that we are more familiar with. If we talk about the cosmos, most people understand we're talking about the world, the universe, the cosmos. And so we have words also that reflect exactly what we're saying, orderly, well arranged. Have you ever heard the word cosmetic? Have you ever seen a section in a department store called cosmetics? Have you ever heard of a profession called cosmetology? Or have you ever heard of, I don't know anything about this magazine. I don't even know why I started down this road. I hope it's not a bad, but there is one called Cosmopolitan that has to do with, I suppose, the world. That's all I know about it, okay? Cosmos. When we think about the cosmos, we think about the sun, the moon, the stars, the orderly arrangement, the design everything in its place of the heavenly bodies as God has placed them there. And so this is the word that we are talking about when we talk about modesty. Now, I point that out because this morning we're going to be talking about this. But I think sometimes, for as much as we say, you know, Christians ought to call Bible things by Bible names and do Bible things in Bible ways, and I think that's right. But sometimes we use the word modest and modesty, and we're not using it in the biblical way. Sometimes when we talk about modest or immodest, we're talking about what is pure and what is lewd or lascivious. So let's be careful that we understand when the Bible is using the word modesty, let's be sure that we understand what we are saying. The Apostle Paul said that a woman ought to adorn herself in modest apparel. The implication is clear that women should adorn themselves. Modest apparel, he goes on to elaborate, with shamefastness, that's an attitude, and sobriety, that's an attitude, not with braided hair, not with gold, not with pearls, not with costly raiment. I see everyone pulling the jewelry off this morning. No, don't start pulling the jewelry off, because Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, the adorning, let it not be the outward adornment of the braiding of hair, the wearing of jewels of gold, or the putting on of apparel. So let's keep this in its context. What Paul is saying here and what Peter is saying, it is a construction in the Greek language when one thing is going to be emphasized that it's set in an exaggerated contrast to another. Not this, but this. We're looking at a point of emphasis here. And the point of emphasis, Paul said, should not be on the outward appearance. It is on the inward character and attitude of heart, listen, that expresses itself in behavior. He says good works. Peter uses the word in good behavior. We're talking about an attitude of heart that is going to be seen in good behavior. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, we have to ask ourselves the question, because there are those who believe that it's wrong for a woman to braid her hair, that it's wrong for a woman to wear jewelry, that it's wrong for a woman to use cosmetics. I should say that they would or should say the same thing about men, that it would be wrong for men to do the same kinds of things when you're talking about jewelry and cosmetics, and we're living in strange times. But I'm just saying to you that there are those who would say that for Christians, this is what Paul is saying. And I'm suggesting to you that if you stay in the text, you cannot make that application, because it's taking you to a place you cannot go. Or the putting on of apparel. Paul is not forbidding, or Peter is not forbidding, the putting on of apparel. He's not forbidding the wearing of clothes. Paul is saying a woman surely ought to adorn herself. What he is saying is, the emphasis of adornment ought to be on the inner character of the person, of the heart. Now, why then does he talk about the braiding of the hair and the wearing of jewels of gold or of pearls? Why does he talk about that? Because in the Mediterranean basin of the Roman world of the first century, if you were a woman of class, if you were not a woman of class, you were nothing, male or female. But if you were a woman of class, you, in a sense, showed your class by the way you presented yourself in public. And part of the presentation of yourself was your hair and the way it was arranged. And part of the arrangement of the hair had to do not just with the style of the hair, but the things that were added into the hair. The gold and the jewelry and the pearls were not just worn around the neck. They were also part of not just a tiara, but of various decorations that would be woven into the various braids of a woman's hair. In other words, a woman of class, as she would step out into the first century world, would make a statement about her financial status. And Paul is saying to Christian women, that's not the statement that you are making. That's not who we are. That's not what we're all about. And that's not what the presentation of yourself should be all about. The emphasis for the Christian, as he begins in verse 8, the emphasis for the Christian, male and female, is the emphasis of godliness. It is the emphasis of holiness. It is the emphasis of the character of Christ himself. Paul is not saying that a woman should not care about her physical appearance. To the contrary, he's talking about her physical appearance. And what he is saying is that as she sets her appearance in order, she should not participate in the excess of materialism or the fleshly aspect of society that would draw attention to her and to her person and to her status in a way that was unbecoming. Most of the Christians of the first century world, in fact, were not women of class, men of class, men of stature. The Apostle Paul said, you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul said, hey, just look at our group. He didn't say, we don't have any high rollers among. He said, not many of us are of the upper class. Not many of us are. Paul said, most of us, we're just regular folks. Most of us are. And he's saying here, an immodest woman parades herself with the material, the physical, and the fleshly. That's where the emphasis is. A spiritual person does not. He said in verse 9, not with this, but in verse 10, with this, as a woman that becomes a woman professing godliness through her good works. He's talking about behavior here. And so I want you to be impressed that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, the not but construction is focused on the adornment of the inner character that is going to be expressed in behavior. Now, behavior includes the way you dress. That's a part of your behavior. But I'm saying, if all you see here is how short a skirt is or how tight some man's shirt is, you're missing the major point here. Paul isn't saying that, well, as long as you pass the dress thing, you're okay. No, he's saying this is a matter of your character. I'm talking about the building of the inner person here. I'm talking about your behavior. Not this, but good works. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2 of the elder, he's talking about a man who is respectable. His behavior is consistent with godliness and spirituality. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter begins this text with, in like manner, you wives, be in subjection to your husbands, if any obey not the word, that they may, without the word, be gained by, what does he say? The godly dress? No, he said that they may be gained by the behavior of their wives. And then he goes on to talk about, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning, the braiding of the hair, the wearing of jewel, or the putting on of apparel. Well, of course he's not saying they shouldn't put on apparel. He's saying that's not the point of emphasis, and that's not what's going to convert your husband. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, the incorruptible apparel of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And he said in verse 7, ye husbands, in like manner. And he's talking to them about the adornment of their inner character that is going to be expressed, among other ways, in their treatment of their wives. And then he's going to go on to talk about our behavior with others in verse 15. Sanctifying Christ in our hearts as Lord, being ready always to give answer to every man that asks us a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that wherein ye are spoken against, they may be put to shame who revile your good manner of life in Christ. If you're looking for literary markers, this is it. This entire context, this entire discussion of Peter, it's sandwiched between these bookends as he's talking about the behavior of life, the manner of life, the expression of the attitudes and the character of the heart. One of the things that adorns the life of a godly person, that which adorns the life of a godly woman, and that which adorns the life of a godly man. But Paul said in 1 Timothy 2, that which adorns the life of a godly woman is good works. And another thing that adorns her is the proper apparel that is consistent with a woman who is professing godliness. But the emphasis, again, is on the godliness. It's on the attitude of the heart. What constitutes proper clothing? Somebody said, well, God didn't make a list. No, God didn't make a list, ladies and gentlemen. God set forth the principles. And he expected us, with honest and good hearts, to reflect those principles in the decisions that we make. The principle is proper clothing is that clothing that reflects the character and the nature and the heart of godliness and holiness. What is decent, what is respectable, what is proper. Somebody says, well, you know, culture changes. We don't wear what they wore in the first century. Precisely. Precisely, culture changes. We don't wear what they wore in the first century. I understand that. But I'll tell you what hasn't changed at all. The principles of godliness, holiness, righteousness, purity, those principles haven't changed. And as culture changes and as styles change, as clothes change, the principles don't change. Paul is emphasizing the woman's demeanor and her attitude. As he continues in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he said, let a woman learn in quietness and all subjection. I don't permit a woman to teach or have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness. Adam was first formed and then Eve. And then he says in verse 15, she's going to be saved in her childbearing if she continues in faith and love and sanctification with sobriety. Wow. We're living in a culture that has absolutely rebelled against the principle of gender distinction. And ladies and gentlemen, if we do not grasp that reality of our culture, we are poorly equipped to prepare our children and our grandchildren for the challenges of godliness that they're going to face in their generation. We have a huge cultural issue in front of us. And I'm saying to you that while there may have been a time in our own upbringing as we were growing up back in Mayberry, perhaps, and everybody understood that a man was a man and a woman was a woman, we're not living in those times anymore. And we're living in a culture not only that is confused about that, but a culture that has an agenda to eradicate that principle. It's not just that the culture doesn't get it anymore. It is that the culture is determined to destroy that. And I'm saying to you that to the extent that we're going to profess to be followers of Jesus Christ and believers in the book, that's a principle that we can't abandon. And it is a principle that is going to become more and more challenging for us and our children. Somebody said, well, what does it mean that a woman's going to be saved in childbearing? She's got to get married and have children in order to be saved. Paul is saying a woman is going to be saved by understanding and completing before God the role to which she was given. The same way that a man is going to be saved, by understanding and completing before God the role to which he was given. The principle is exactly the same. The genders are distinct. The principle is the same. And I would tell you, Paul is saying, and Peter is saying, that a woman then ought to conduct herself in a way that is respectful, that is well-ordered, that is appropriate. God created us, Paul said, male and female. And we are supposed to be people who are respectful of what is right and proper. We are called to be a people who are godly in our behavior toward one another and toward others in the world. We are to be respectful of the roles into which God has placed us without trying to draw undue attention to ourselves or to vaunt ourselves in a way that is unbecoming to Christ. Men ought to stand up and be men. And women ought to stand up and be women. And we don't have to be ashamed of that. And we don't have to apologize for that. We simply set that forth as the determination of the God who created us. Our first responsibility in adornment. Paul said in Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27, don't you know, as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have, what's the rest of that? Put on Christ. Our first adornment. As we become Christians, born anew into the family of God, we are adorned in Christ. We're adorned with Christ. If that is true, then it ought to be obvious to ourselves and others that something has changed. We are now adorned with Christ. There are things that are different in our lives now, and there are some things that formerly were true of us that now, Paul is saying, Peter is saying, that now simply are not appropriate for us. And if we have made this change, and if we are adorned in Christ, why either in appearance or in conduct, in behavior, why would we choose to continue to reflect the image and the character of the world? It's inconsistent. We are to reflect the image of Him in whose likeness we have been recreated, that of Jesus Christ Himself. Some things absolutely must change. Let me just say to you, Christians are different from the world. We are different because Jesus, in his prayer in John 17, as he noted to his Father, Father, sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. I'm asking you to protect them from the evil one. Help them to be in the world, but not of the world, because they're changed and they're different. They are the called out. They have been distinguished. The Apostle Paul is saying that the presentation of ourselves is important. And that which is inappropriate ought not to be worn by any Christian who purports to godliness and holiness. We present ourselves in a way that bespeaks the attitude of our hearts that have been shaped and molded by Christ himself. And somebody says, well, I'll tell you right now, I'm not responsible for what other people are thinking, for their thoughts and everything. Listen to me carefully. Every individual is responsible for the disciplining of his own heart, regardless of anybody else. But I'll tell you what Paul said. And I'll tell you what Peter said. They said, you do need to think about whether or not you are contributing to the holiness and purity and sanctification and Christ-likeness of another person, or you are distracting them away from it. There are some things, folks, that just aren't appropriate in the presentation of no offense to any particular demographic. I am the number one biggest customer at Walmart, so I'm not trying to take a dig at Walmart, but social media has gone crazy with all of the funnies about Walmart customers. It's a big joke, and I'll tell you what that reflects. Number one, it reflects something about the level to which we have fallen in our society as to not only what people are wearing when they go out in public, but also what the rest of us think is funny. It says something about our culture. But another thing it says is this. Even the world, a world that makes fun of God, that is hostile toward God, that is rejecting the notion, even the world recognizes the fact that there are some ways of presenting yourself to other people that are not appropriate. The proper response may not be to laugh at it, but I'm saying it. Let's not pretend that nobody can figure out that some things are appropriate and some things are not. We understand that as a principle. I'm saying this. We have a responsibility that the world doesn't have. Folks, we're different. We are different. And because we're different, we have to present ourselves to others in a way that honors God. It begins with changing our character, the adornment of the inward person. It is expressed through our behavior. And then that includes our clothing, the braiding of the hair, if we have any hair, or the wearing of gold, or our jewels, or the calling of attention to the fleshly and the sensual, whatever it is, we must behave ourselves in a way that honors God. And I would close just with this one thing. Worship is a big deal. In Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 26, one of God's fundamental complaints against his people that had lost their way was that they arrived at a point that they couldn't figure out the difference, that they would not discern the difference between what is holy and what is common. I'll tell you what, we have a great opportunity to do here. We are, as you know, involved in several community Bible studies here. Since Tim has been here, he's done a great job getting those started and maintaining those Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, Thursday night in one location, Thursday night in another location. One of the things we are trying to do is present ourselves to the world around us as those who honor God, who are followers of Jesus Christ, and who have just given our lives to trying to understand who he is, to become more and more like him, and to help others find him. Presenting ourselves to the world around us. What a wonderful privilege we have. It means for all of us that we share equally in the responsibility of presenting ourselves in a way that is orderly, that is well arranged, that bespeaks the holiness and the purity and the godliness of one who is a follower of Jesus Christ. God wants us to be washed pure and clean, to be adorned in the wedding garments of the Lamb himself. If you're here this morning and you're not adorned in that garment, would you come this morning in obedience to Christ? Give yourself in obedience to him. If you've never confessed your faith in the Lord, been baptized into Christ, would you do that this morning? If you're a child of God and you're not walking faithfully, living faithfully with him, would you this morning let us pray with you and for you as you repent and turn your heart back to God? While we stand and sing, we invite you to